Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
There we go. Everyone, please be seated. I loved how you came out in a little different order. You're trying to see if I'm keeping track, huh? Yeah, I appreciate it, members of the jury. I want to confirm that while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and you did not receive any information. Is that all correct? And that no one has approached you about this case since you were last with us. Is that correct? And have you seen any media coverage since the last time we were together?
No, not on ESPN.
ESPN? Well, I know we were just kind of joking around, but I just want to be serious. No one has seen any media coverage about this case. Is that correct? We don't need to talk about the raise or anything like that. So, okay. Mr. Anderson.
Please call Robert Trent.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Robert Paul Tremp, Jr.
And have you been called as an expert in vocational rehabilitation to discuss the diminished earning capacity of Maya Kowalski as a result of the actions of Johns Hopkins?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
To give the jury some background here, will you please go through your background training and experience towards offering them? You know what? Strike it. What does a vocational rehabilitation expert do first?
Certainly. So in vocational rehabilitation, keyword rehab, and when we have the word vocational involved, that means work. And when there's been an onset of an injury or a disability or an alteration to your life, How is your job now going to be impacted? So for a quick example, if we have a concrete worker who then becomes a spinal cord injured patient, you're going to go, gosh, it's kind of hard to do concrete work as a spinal cord injury or in a wheelchair, that kind of thing. So what can you do now? How can we rehabilitate you from a vocational and job standpoint?
And can you give the jury the benefit of your background, training, and experience towards offering those opinions?
Certainly. So I have an undergraduate degree from Michigan State University. I then went on to the University of Arizona in Tucson to earn a master's degree in special education and rehabilitation counseling. From there, I went to the University of Florida, Gators. I don't know if there's Seminoles fans here. But then I took some coursework there after my graduate degree in life care planning. I took two national board certifications. One is in rehabilitation counseling, which I just talked about with regard to rehab and counsel people on how your life has changed, and then board certification in life care planning.
And what licenses, and sir, did you just tell us the licenses and certifications you hold?
I did, the two national board certifications, yes, sir.
Oh, so behind your name there is an MA, a CRC, and a CLCP. And what are those again?
That's correct. So the Master of Arts, and then the CRC is Certified Rehabilitation Counselor, and the CLCP is Certified Life Care Planning. And life care planning is future care needs, and I think someone else is going to talk about that today as well.
Okay, and do your input then go into a life care plan, in this instance, the life care plan prepared by Dr. Bifocal?
That's correct.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about your assignment in this case. Can you tell the jury what you were assigned to do in relationship to the Kowalskis?
Certainly. So I was asked to read the records, speak with Mr. Kowalski and Maya as well. I did that several occasions. And then to look at all the evidence and develop what Maya's future is going to look like from a school standpoint and from a work standpoint, and also a future care standpoint. It's very important that there is a life care plan involved here, which is going to actually help her, and that came into my decision making as well.
So you have then had interviews of Maya and her father, and then reviewed what else? Have you reviewed medical records, or what do you review it?
Yeah, I reviewed thousands of pages of medical records, deposition testimonies, spoke to several experts in this matter to get a really good idea as to what the future does look like for her. We always work on a team basis, so we incorporate a lot of collateral source information from other providers, so we have a really good understanding as to how to formulate the future and the treatment plans that we develop for her. We just can't do it alone or just impulsively. We do need to reach out and do some due diligence and see what's really going on here.
So what, if anything, was significant about Maya Kowalski's diagnoses as it affected the opinion you will offer?
Well, we have PTSD. I talked to Dr. Brewerton at length about that, and I also talked to Dr. Kirkpatrick and others about the CRPS, and I think by this time the jury's probably heard a lot about both. So to have a quick answer, those two diagnoses is what we're looking at for long-term future care.
And there's an interplay between those two. I don't expect you to get into the medical opinions, but from the vocational rehabilitation standpoint, are the combination of these significant?
Yes, we try to look to see how the patient, in any case, our spinal cord injured patient, for example, how do we get them better? What does their prognosis look like? And in this case, when we have the complex regional pain syndrome coupled with the post-traumatic stress disorder, especially at the age of onset with PTSD, where Dr. Kirkpatrick talked about our neurotransmitters, as our brain is developing, we have different pathways as we develop. And so when there's trauma that happens at a young age, you're going to develop in a much different way and trajectory than you would have had the onset happen after your brain is fully developed. So we have a rather perfect storm here, because CRPS is anxiety-ridden, it's pain-ridden, it's emotional, it's the unknown, gosh, when is the next flare-up going to happen? Then we also have the PTSD issue coupled with that, and it just goes around and around, and they chase each other. And so it's a very, very difficult and very guarded prognosis for the future.
All right. So when we look at the vocational damages here, did you apply any particular statistics? And if so, explain how and the source of the statistics.
I did. You're going to have to, I'm going to do my glasses on and off. I was playing basketball with my daughter over the weekend, and my regular glasses were broke. So I'm going to try my best here with these Walgreens glasses. So I looked, nothing wrong with Walgreens, they're very good glasses. So I looked at government data to see what we would look like for her based on the trajectory that she was on as a student, as a young child. We've all heard how well she does in school, piano, figure skating. Polish is a second language. Her being recruited by Duke University at a very, very young age. She's almost done with an AA degree. So she's doing very well academically, but that doesn't tell the whole story. And the whole story is that, as we've heard and we know, what's life going to look like when she leaves the house, if she can leave the house? And so I looked at the trajectory she was on and her wages at the doctoral level. I know Ms. Kirby talked about some of the data that I use, the data that I have to use within my methodology, is that she no doubt would have been at the professional degree to a doctoral degree easily. I don't think anybody ever refute the fact that she was on that track from birth, right? She was just a freight train going towards college. There's no worry there. And so I looked at the wage data for that at the $1,883 in $2019. As a weekly wage for that. It's basically the maximum based on the government data.
And what does that come out to annually?
It comes out to the 97,000 range that Ms. Kirby talked about, and then the 108 that she annualized.
All right. And so that seems a little... Isn't that low for someone with her potential?
Yeah. And so, again, the methodology that we're bound by as voc rehab counselors is what does, the government analyzes all of our jobs, right, across the board, and they come up with median statistics and based on educational level of attainment and other types of areas. And so, really, that's everybody piled in. And Maya is an extreme outlier, no doubt. I looked into other data. For example, the government indicated that, CEOs across the board are at the $630,000 to $1 million range. I also looked at a study that Ivy League grads make about 38% more than graduates from other colleges. So those wages were coming out of college, that was $86,025. Other colleges, you come out at 58,543. Again, she's recruited by Duke, and there's no doubt in my mind that she would have been on that trajectory. Absolutely.
All right. So for the jury's purposes here, the $97,916 is a statistic that they can then apply their own view of Maya's future or potential to.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. And the CEO is, that range is about $391 an hour, all right, at the $830,000 range. If we're going to look at her as a Ivy League grad with this, all A's and being recruited early on and, almost done with a two-year degree at high school.
So what age did you consider Maya entering the workforce in light of her academics?
Well, now, after everything that's gone on, about age 28.
Right. And then assuming a best-case scenario that the other things we're going to talk about don't happen, what would her work-life expectancy be?
65 to 70.
All right. And so then over the course of her life, if you just take the statistics, and we're to these age, was it to age 65 or 70? Age 70?
It was a range, work-life expectancy, age 65 to 70.
All right. And so statistically speaking, her wages prior to injury at the government standard would be what? In other words, what was her baseline?
Yeah, let me get to it. Uh, To age 70, it would have been $3,622,892. Or I'm sorry, age 65. Age 70, $4,112,472.
All right. And did this take into account then a control, that is a properly treated and medically controlled CRPS as part of this in the baseline?
Yeah, it does. I had a conversation with Dr. Kirkpatrick and others about, you know, if the CRPS had been managed correctly all the way through, there's no interruption. There's literature out there that, as well as the doctors, indicated that very important to get immediate care for CRPS and get on it right then and right now. Any delays can be very, very difficult and make things all the worse. So I asked the doctors, say, you know, what was her trajectory like if she had...
Experts are allowed to comment on hearsay.
Overruled.
I asked the doctors what would her trajectory have been like if the CRPS was properly managed from the get-go. There was no interruption, no delay, and they all felt very, very good prognosis in there with, you know, some interruption for flare-ups, but nothing that would have really taken her out or interfered with her ability to maximize her wages and her full potential. They all felt very, very strongly about that.
All right. And were these opinions, based upon your background, training, and experience, and to a reasonable degree of probability within your profession, useful as a baseline for Maya Kowalski with her CRPS, but in a controlled and well-medicated, I don't hate to use that term, but well-taken-care-of manner?
Yeah, I mean, if her future care needs would have been met properly, that's the idea. Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is at 97, shade under $98,000 a year?
Yeah, based on the 2019 data, the Economist grew those to 108, and then I spoke about how she's kind of an outlier, so yes.
When you say an outlier there, does she have, based upon your background, training, and experience, the capabilities in light of her intelligence, EQ, that is emotional quotient for presentation, articulation, does she have the probability of earning considerably more than the government statistic?
100%. Absolutely. Again, she was a freight train heading towards college. There was nothing going to stop her to maximize her wages. She had no impediments. The CRPS, yes, but if that was managed, then... you know, there was just nothing in the way. Absolutely.
And so then let's talk about post-abuse and trauma earnings. So tell the jury now what you went through to try to figure out Maya as she is now.
Well, the best things that she had going for her was her pre-existing condition. If she had learning disabilities or didn't do well in school, didn't like school, the picture would be much, much worse. But we're going to look at all of her strengths throughout this because I want her to work. I want her to be independent. I want her to get better and live a good, full life. So we're going to try to get Maya through college, try to get her to work in some capacity. But I also have to look at the evidence. The evidence is that, you know, especially with Dr. Kirkpatrick talking about PTSD.
No objection about the hearsay.
PTSD combined with major depressive disorder, combined with the anxiety, the CRPS, then combined with a ticking clock, combined with people that may look like the people from Johns Hopkins, combined with the events that happened with her mother, and there's a study about children.
Object to the bolstering literature.
Sustained.
Just based on your background, training, experience, have you previously followed patients who have had a history of suicide in the family?
Yes.
And in your clinical experience, work experience, what are the concerns there?
Well, there's plenty of data and literature out there that says that parents...
You just have to leave out the literature part.
In my clinical experience, I've had where... parents commit suicide. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And then the child commits suicide as well. They're beyond a reasonable degree in my clinical experience. Absolutely, it's a big concern.
Now, in this instance, was there any concern? And did you have an opportunity to talk to Dr. Brewerton, a pediatric psychiatrist that did the evaluations on Maya?
I did.
Yeah. And so what are the concerns here now with post-traumatic stress disorder insofar as the... I guess you'd call it deviations off of where her brain would have been if she had not experienced this level of trauma?
Well, I talked to, someone's phone's ringing over there at the table. Yeah.
This is a good time for everybody to take their phone out and actually make sure the ringer's off.
Apologize. Not that it isn't a snappy tune.
That was a pretty good ringtone, Mr. Hunter.
I think maybe it was done on purpose to mix me up. I don't know. Yeah. Trip me up a little bit. Where were we before the...
We're talking about organic changes caused, based on your consultation with the treating physicians, we're talking about organic changes to the brain as a result of the trauma and the resulting PTSD.
Yeah, and I've worked clinically with trauma patients throughout my whole life. And what Dr. Burton told me is really nothing new. When we have – one of the reasons why there's accidental deaths are so high with children is because their brains are still developing. They don't think that riding the car near the road that something could happen, right? And that's why those accidents happen with children all the time. So when we have – Dr. Kirkpatrick spoke about this. When we have neurobiological changes in our brain as we develop, we take a different road. We go down a different path. We develop differently than we would have – had that trauma not occurred. And the issue here is that when this all was occurring, she was a child. There was no escape. She can't go anywhere. As adults, we can get out of the situation, fight or flight. She was captive. And that, with Dr. Kirkpatrick talking to me about that particular thing.
Saying that she could not escape, we were talking about Kathy Beatty. She had no way of getting away from her and that abuse that ended up causing this.
Yeah, I mean, as a 10-year-old child, I mean, I can go on. I think we may have heard a lot about what happened during that, captivity, you would say.
We don't have to go through that.
Okay, we don't need to go through it again.
They know it. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the accepted methodologies within your profession that you applied and why you chose them. Yeah.
So how do we know what children are going to do in terms of school in the future, how they're going to grow up and what kind of jobs, what kind of wages, right? They're children. They haven't gotten there yet. So there's what's called a pediatric REPEL, R-A-P-E-L methodology, and that is an acronym, and PEDS is for pediatrics. REPEL is rehabilitation, access to the labor market, placeability, earnings, and labor force participation rate. Sorry, and the theory is that again, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So, if you have two parents with PhDs, kid's going to have a PhD. If you have a parent with a law degree, your child's going to have some sort of master's degree. If you have a child with a 4-year degree, and so on. Both parents have high school degrees. Statistically speaking, your kids are also going to just have high school degrees and nothing further. Of course, there's outliers on that. There's lots of examples, you know, about what kids do versus their parents. But that's the overall methodology on a statistical basis. So we looked at Beata, the mother, 4-year degree. That's no problem projecting there. Father is a firefighter. And I think he had less than a college degree. We also, though, need to then look at Maya with regard to her uniqueness. Was she a poor student with learning disabilities that might say, well, gosh, she's probably just going to get through high school? It wasn't the case. She's gifted, high IQ, recruited by Duke University at a very young age, participating in college programs, almost done with a 2-year associate's degree. Using that methodology, it's no problem to predict that she, again, was just this academic freight train with limitless possibilities. That's the methodology.
And then did you take into account the what was the rehabilitation plan, and where are they going to learn about that?
Well, the reason why I'm hopeful for Maya, and it's guarded, is because we do have a life care plan. I'm also a certified life care planner. And the rehab part is that there's future care needs, counseling, guidance, medications, access to health care in the future for her. And that is meant to, and this is very, very key and very, very crucial, that is designed, that life care plan is designed to maximize her independence and minimize her complications, right? But what are her complications? Her complications are trust, going out into the real world, triggers out there, things as little as a ticking clock to what people wear for jewelry to familiar patrons at a restaurant. And we need to look at that and try to forecast the best situation secondary to that. And that's why that life care plan with Dr. Bifuco is so crucial and important. And that's why I'm hopeful that 50% reduction, I'm hoping she can get the help she needs and get to work, have a good productive life, very concerned about child care as well. You know, all those types of things, those life events that we need to get the dysregulation and control of her brain and how she looks at the world and her viewpoint and the entire world. And that's why I'm hopeful that the life care plan will allow her as a vocational person to get her to work, if at all.
Is that why you have 100% disability and then the 50% disability?
It is. So 100% is a total loss of earning capacity.
But that doesn't necessarily mean from day one. It means it could kick in at different times.
It could. I mean, the total loss is really, is she ever going to work? And I hope that's not the case. I really hope that's not the case. I hope that the life care plan works and she can work. I want her to go to work, earn wages. Work is very therapeutic for her. Is she going to get out of the house? Can she get through college? Can she fight off all of the outside sensory that we can't control in our world, right? We can't control other drivers, other coworkers, bosses. We can't control that. So can she get over that and get going on some kind of work? And that's what we're aiming for. The best case scenario is that.
All right. And then you also talked about, and I want to hit the highlights here. And if I'm missing something that is important, let me know in your analysis. But you also talked about placeability. What is that?
Placeability, where is she going to, how will she be placed in the labor market? You know, an easy way to kind of look at that, we have Zoom jobs now, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You know, that's an option. And I thought about that. You know, can she be a Zoom worker? Might be therapeutic for her, might also not be, because I want her to be out in the world and not have to depend on never leaving the house. So placeability is very key. We all have jobs that you work in public, you work by yourself, you work in a closed environment, open environment. So the placeability is very key for her.
And labor force participation.
Yeah, labor force participation is full-time, part-time. You know, really with my 100% loss is no time, 50% is part-time. You know, and so labor force participation is you know, 2,080 hours a year or 40 hours 40 hours a week.
So you were looking for all of the available options for Maya, given her circumstances?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. And then I wanted to talk a little bit. Let's get the opinion. Do you have an opinion based upon your background, training, experience, and to a reasonable vocational rehabilitative probability as to the losses likely to, more likely than not, to be sustained by Maya Kowalski?
I do, yeah.
All right, and there seems to be, four different scenarios, or?
There is, yeah. So
go ahead.
Let me walk through them. So at 100% loss, and that is she never going to work, right? And for reasons I just stated of all of the different barriers and what we call in our world impediments to employment, and those impediments are things I already talked about ad nauseum, and I think that, I don't know, I don't think I need to go over those again, but I think I hit on those. And the high range there to age 65 would be a loss of $3,622,892, or if to age 70, $4,112,472. The best case scenario for her, again, if the life care plan is afforded to her, which is the future care needs, counseling, home care, things that we've already touched upon, that's afforded to her. The hope is she'll get better, and we want her to get better. We know this is a permanent thing for her. It's lifelong, but there are things out there, there's tools out there that can work and get her better. So the best case scenario for her is to age 65, a 50% reduction in her earning capacity is $1,811,446. To age 70 is $2,056,236.
And we'll have those numbers up in a moment. Now, should the jury decide that Maya's actual earning capacity could be a multiple of this, two times, three times, four times, and based upon your analysis, background, training, and experience, are those within the probabilities that she could earn that or would earn that with the right care?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my numbers are based on $97,000 a year.
All right. So,
and so that's the median. That's 50% make higher, 50% make lower of everybody in the governmental study. Big national data. And that's what I have to – that's what I'm kind of bound by in terms of methodology. I have to look at government data to support these opinions. Then we look at the individual person. We might go, gosh, you know, does that make sense? Would that person make $97,000 if they had, you know, a severe learning disability, right? So we can look at it from that spectrum. We can also look at it from the other outlier spectrum is, again, and I'll be quick, all A's, Duke University, two languages, overachiever. So she would be on the higher outlier of wages for the future.
So let's say the jury did in their deliberations come to a conclusion that her abilities would earn a multiple of this. How would they go about using your formula to compute that?
Well,
other than simply doubling or tripling or...
I mean, you can look at it as a times two, times three, times four, times five multiplier. I leave that to the jury that we can do that. As I already indicated before, gosh, there's a 38%, almost 40% difference between Ivy League grads versus non-Ivy League grads. We also know that, you know, CEOs on a wide range make 630 to a million, right? But I leave it to the jury to listen to all the evidence, listen to Maya, listen to everybody, and that is up to you for that.
All right. And so your opinions here, you're not taking into account any what we call human damages, general damages, that such as Maya discussed this morning and Jack and Kyle yesterday.
No.
These are simply for the diminished earning capability she'll have.
That's correct.
And again, your opinions here are to a reasonable vocational rehabilitative certainty.
Yeah,
probability. I should say probability for this. Sorry.
My opinions today are beyond a reasonable degree of vocational probability based on the methodology, based on my background training experience, based on my numerous conversations with numerous experts. That is true.
Your witness?
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Let's get the fun stuff out of the way first. What do you charge to be here today?
Well, I'm not sure about your characterization of fun stuff there, but I do charge $500 per hour. I'm not really sure what that comment means, but it's $500 per hour.
Okay. What have you charged from the time you were retained until this point today?
I believe $4,500 was my bill. I think $2,000 more after that for updates.
Okay. And if I understand what you told me at your prior deposition, almost all of the money you make is providing this type of service in court litigation type services.
Yeah, there's not many of us with these kind of credentials, so it does keep people with my specific credentials quite busy.
Almost all of that's for the plaintiff, true?
No. My testimony list is mostly plaintiff. I am retained by defense firms quite often. In fact, I don't know if they've hired one of me on the other side. I don't think so. But I do defense work as well. So it's about 70-75% plaintiff. The rest is defense work.
Okay. But in terms of coming to testify, it's much higher for the plaintiff, sure?
Yes, because on defense, they usually don't disclose us, right? I don't know if there's one that they haven't disclosed, and so we tend to not testify in defense.
So you said something that's super important for this case. you're here to try to analyze what Maya's diminished earning capacity, if any, was as a result of the actions at my client's hospital. Fair?
In part, yeah.
Well, meaning, don't you have an obligation before this jury to separate out how Maya was doing before she came to All Children's and compare it to how she did after?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think one of the words you used, so I'm gonna parrot it. You said, if I have it written down right, she was a runaway, was it a freight train heading towards college?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. Let me show. And you've spoken to a number of people. You've reviewed a number of medical records. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Let me ask you about a couple of medical records. Let's pull up Joint Exhibit 1040-156. We'll put it on the screen for you.
Sure.
Mr. Trump. 1040-156. And you can expand the top. This is January 13th, 2016. I'll represent to you, this is from Dr. Hanna. Was he one of the people you spoke with?
I don't believe so.
Were you provided these records?
I believe so.
Okay. So you would have seen when you reviewed these records, for example, that Maya had pain that was 10 out of 10.
Objection, not reading.
Cross-examination, Your Honor.
Overruled. He can proceed.
Okay. You see in this record that at the time Maya presented about 10 months before she came to my client's hospital, she was in 10 out of 10 pain, correct?
It's correct.
Okay. You know by history that this would have been less than 2 months after she underwent a coma in Mexico. True?
True.
And I really don't mean this to be sarcastic or make light of this situation. This is obviously very serious. She's in this position, she's not a freight train heading towards college.
When I talked to, Dr. Kirkpatrick, the doctor that got all the CRPS going, I did ask him if this was managed early on, as it was, there was no interruption at the hospital, would she be in a much better position now, minus the PTSD? He said, absolutely. And I even indicated to the doctor that when we have kids that have disabilities early on in age, they learn to adapt over time, and they have no choice but to go to college because they cannot work a physical job. And then they excel that way as long as they're managed. So it's very clear, because I know this question is probably in everybody's mind, you know, what would have been like just the CRPS? And that's why I wanted to clarify that with Brewerton and Dr. Kirkpatrick.
Okay. Kirkpatrick hadn't seen her since 2015, September. True?
He's seen her after that. Objection. That's not true.
That's getting into court ruling.
The last time...
Okay.
So going back to my question, based on the document I showed you in January 13th, 2016, you would agree with me at that point, Maya is not in a condition to be, quote, as you said, a freight train heading towards college in this condition. True?
Well, can we leave the record up,
please? Clay, it's you got it. Above it, it says the pain has been gradually worsening and described as severe, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And I'm just trying to establish with you, at this date, you're not telling this jury that Maya Kowalski in this condition, hypersensitive, 10 out of 10 pain, wheelchair bound for now almost a year, 2 months post ketamine coma, is a, quote, freight train heading towards college, are you?
Absolutely, for reasons already stated, because this is a treatable condition. Certain protocols needed to be in place on an acute basis. It's very clear that this type of condition needs to be handled in the very beginning and without disruption, and there was a disruption. Now, again, as stated, persons that are injured when they're little, they learn to adapt, they get better. they cope. We know that this is going to have flare-ups in the future. And that's why, again, because of this question, because of this note, I wanted to clarify from the experts that I talked to that if it was handled appropriately, she was able to adapt and move on with her life with maintenance. Absolutely.
Okay. In fairness, you're not an expert on RSD in the treatment for it, correct?
I've had a lot of RSD. Well, RSD is the old term. CRPS is a new term. But I've had a lot of CRPS cases, absolutely.
You're not a doctor.
No, not a doctor.
You're relying on Dr. Kirkpatrick for what he believes is the necessary care on CRPS when you're talking about what should have been given and what was interrupted. Is that true?
Dr. Henschke, Kirkpatrick, Brewerton, Chopra, all these doctors, yes, sir. Okay. There's a convergent validation from all these doctors all arriving to one single opinion.
Let me show you document. Let me ask you this. What was it that she wasn't getting at All Children's? Was it ketamine? Are you saying there was an interruption of ketamine? Or do you know?
Well, that does call for a medical opinion. I tell you, she was also getting a lot of other things at that hospitalization, too, if you want to ask that question.
Well, what I'm trying to get
to... There's a lot of things she got there that she shouldn't have got. Yes, sir.
No, you made a very specific statement to this jury that her CRPS therapy was interrupted and that if it had only continued, she would have been better than she was, right? Do you remember telling the jury this?
Yeah, and that's based, again, on my conversations with the doctors in this case.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me ask you about 5 months later, Joint Exhibit 104067. Again, this is a record from Dr. Hannett. Sounds like you reviewed this. This is May 13, 2016. So we're now 4 months into ketamine treatments. So I'll represent to you. This is after she had 37 infusions. She had freight train heading towards college, 10 out of 10 pain.
Again, based on my conversations with the doctors, it's very clear that she had uninterrupted care and didn't take this big diversion, this captivity, if you will, at the hospital where she suffered all that abuse there. That is the opinion from the doctors that she would have been just fine in college, just fine at work.
Mm-hmm. And so you notice on the weight, she hasn't put on any weight. She's at 60 pounds. She was 60 pounds at the first appointment with Dr. Hanna 4 months earlier. Is that a positive sign?
Well, I mean, is it age and height appropriate at 60 pounds? I mean, that does call for a medical opinion. I see your point, but I don't know what her height and age was at that time.
Okay. Well, let me turn to the next page of this, 104068.
Obviously, if somebody's underweight, it's not good.
Okay.
Stipulate that.
It's not just ketamine that comes with these treatments. You're aware in reviewing these records that there's a number of other drugs, including, if you look on the vials, Versed, Zofran, which is for nausea, magnesium sulfate for constipation, Benadryl to control against allergic reactions. That's all part of her treatment, right, that she's getting?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about another note. Let's fast forward a couple months to 1040-0040. She's still 60 pounds. You see that?
I do. Yep.
This treatment's working? Is that what you think?
Well, you're asking me if the treatment is working. It does call for a medical opinion.
Okay. Well, let's fast forward to the records just before she went to All Children's and see if you still see her as a freight train heading towards college. Let's pull up 1040-20. This is now 2 days before she went to All Children's on October 5th. Patient stated that her weekend was rough, she didn't sleep due to pain, and had a great deal of nausea and vomiting. Is this a good sign?
I mean, if you're saying she's not, if you're making, you seem like you're formulating an opinion that she was not on a good trajectory, I'm saying that she was. There's no expert on your side that's refuting what I'm saying. I talked to the doctors. They were trying to treat her with this. We know that in working with pediatric children, the earliest you get to them is, and they can adjust to their disability long before college and get them on the right track, that is the point. So, yes, I still stand by that she had everything going for her. She didn't have learning disabilities. She loved school. She had all this stuff. Despite all these things that she had was dealing with, she was still progressing.
She wasn't in school. In October, she wasn't in school.
I'm aware, sir, but she's been through school from a young age all the way through.
Right, but from the time of her disability on July 3rd, 2015, until now, this point where we're what, 17 months later, she's been out of school the whole time and in a wheelchair, right?
And look at her now.
Objection, it's misstating facts. Overall,
look at what she overcame. She missed school. She's been through it all, and now she's trying to get through college, 2 years of college as a junior in high school. Yeah. So, the freight train analogy is alive and well.
You will get no argument from me, sir, that once she got off of these dangerous, unnecessary medications, with perseverance becoming a freight train heading towards college after the hospital, that's when she started doing this.
Well, that's your conclusion. You're making a medical conclusion, dangerous and unnecessary medications. I don't know if her expert doctors would say that or treat to that, but that does call for medical conclusion. Again, my analysis of this based on 4 or 5 experts in this case all have a convergent validation, meaning all opinions are converging into one opinion, and that is uninterrupted. She was on a really, really good trajectory. I don't think anybody can dispute that.
Well, let me ask you about 1040-0233. 2 days before she goes to All Children's, is this a good trajectory? She's non-functioning.
You're indicating a measure of function for people with pain. She stays in bed all day, feels hopeless and helpless about life, and yet what has she proven? She's overcome so much. Okay. Absolutely. Even more so. I mean, you're almost bolstering my opinion because you're pointing out all these things that knocked her down, and she kept getting up. Look. She keeps getting up, and she keeps fighting through all of this. So, again, her power to go to do whatever she wants was limitless, and nothing was getting her down at all.
The reason why I'm bringing this up to you, Mr. Tremp, is because your testimony from this jury was that this course of treatment from September, when Dr. Kirkpatrick started dosing her with ketamine, among other drugs, followed by a coma, followed by 2 boosters in Mexico, followed by 60 extremely high doses of ketamine given by Dr. Hanna, was the right treatment. And if only that continued for a couple more months.
Counsel's testifying.
Cross-examination.
Let him finish the question, and I'm going to overrule it.
And then if only that continued for another month or two and wasn't interrupted, she would have done this. Is that what you're saying? You can answer.
No, you can answer.
No. Well, you said coma. It wasn't medically induced, medically supervised coma. It wasn't just a coma. Again, she did progress after that. She did better after that. And then we just won't know because she was, again, separated from her family for 97 days.
We'll talk about that in a moment. After she got out of All Children's Hospital in January, you talked about her perseverance, her drive, all of those things. Those are
to this day, yeah.
Amazing qualities. Yeah. Nobody's disputing it. So
to this day,
that her recovery, where she was able to go back to school by August with only warm water therapy, physical therapy, perseverance, and time. That's how she got to that recovery, true?
You're asking me how she got to that recovery. Again, that does ask for a medical opinion. What I know about that is CRPS comes and it goes. It flares. It comes out of nowhere. It's why it's so anxiety-ridden because you just don't know when your next episode is going to be. It's a good thing that she was able to get back to school. But how are we doing emotionally? What's left out of that question is the emotional component. He's asking about the physical act of being able to go to school. That's one thing. Okay, we can all show up to school. What's the emotional component of all of that? That's the other part of this.
She, you read the deposition of Mr. Kowalski, did you not?
I did.
And you saw that he testified in November 6, 2019, that he saw no evident signs of CRPS, correct?
And that's part of the disease.
Now, at that point, she's a freight train heading towards college. She's number one in her class, right?
Absolutely.
And She was able to resume figure skating for a while?
She's no longer doing that or piano, and she's no longer speaking Polish.
Okay. As of 2022, she was figure skating, playing the piano. True?
Fair. Yep.
And she's driving?
Yes, she's driving now.
She has a boyfriend?
Yes.
She had a job.
Well, I'll let her speak to that.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not going there.
She
can answer that.
She had a job at Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
She did you ever get her school records?
I don't recall.
You don't know what her school records say?
I'd have to look. Well, I got a lot of records. I mean, not much to really see. She's doing pretty well.
Yeah. So. I mean, I guess not to belabor it, she was, may still be, but at least for a while, she was number one in her class.
I believe she's number two now.
Okay. She was president of the Junior Honor Society after she got out of All Children's Trip.
Was. Yep.
She was a member of several clubs.
Used to be, yeah.
You, in order to prepare your vocational report, you had to interview Maya and Mr. Kowalski, right?
Yeah, several times, yes.
Okay. You noted that Maya developed CRPS on July 4th, which gradually worsened, necessitating significant and prolonged medical care from multiple providers. True?
That's true.
You noted in your report that Maya had taken the SAT?
Yes.
You noted, at least at the time of your report, she had already gone to Stetson College in DeLand and participated in the science program.
That's true.
You noted in your report, when you asked her about her career thoughts, she was thinking about becoming either an orthodontist, a private investigator, or maybe going into psychology. Is that right?
That's what she said then, yeah. Now she doesn't know what she wants to do.
I'm still thinking about what I want to do.
No comment.
Yeah. you interviewed Maya. This is as of February 10th, 2022. Did she tell you that she started her days at 4:30 in the morning and working out?
Yes.
And she was going to school?
Yep.
She would come home and help with chores?
Yep.
Okay. You saw where Maya had said in her deposition that she's physically doing better now than before she went to All Children's?
Yes.
Let me ask you a couple of your opinions on, well, let me ask you this. Were you aware of someone applying for Social Security disability benefits for Maya before she went to All Children's?
I don't recall.
You mentioned work is therapeutic.
Yeah, very. Yeah, absolutely. I hope she works.
Were you here earlier when Maya testified?
I was.
Okay. And you saw that she is going to seek out therapy, hopefully when this trial ends.
Well, I found that interesting because she wants to get better. She wants to see doctors and trust them again. And when I was listening to that, I'm going, you know, when I've talked to her and her dad, the distrust is the big problem. And that's why I'm so guarded about her future, is because she's smart. She knows she needs help. But can she get out the door and go get it? And that's the problem. Is it just going to keep re-victimizing her, secondary to the trust issue?
Does you do concede, do you not, Mr. Trent, that at least looking through her prior records, there were prior diagnoses of anxiety and depression prior to All Children's? True.
It's fair, yeah.
Okay. Did you read the report of Dr. Jim Lewis in terms of what he thought in terms of pre-existing anxiety, depression, and potential trauma?
Refresh me.
Okay. Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Or do you want me to tell you what it says?
Whatever you want.
Maya had extensive clinical interview evidence of DSM-5 adjustment disorder with mixed anxiety, depressed mood, moderate to severe.
And this was by which doctor?
A neuropsychologist.
Employed by who?
Not employed by my hospital.
Okay, and what date was that?
That was on October 20th, 2016.
It's fair.
Okay. One moment, please. Appreciate your time. I don't have any other questions at this time.
You bet.
Thank you.
Check me out real quick.
Sure.
Just one second.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Apartment people, my name is Dave and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Apartment people, my name is Dave and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit LiveWithChampion.com. LiveWithChampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush. Spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at LEGENDZ.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush. Spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.